Hi, friends. Welcome to Neighborhood Church Podcast. Please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to find all the ways you can stay connected during COVID-19, or if you'd like to give. Please join us Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., where we stream our services on our webpage, as well as Facebook Live on our Neighborhood Church page. And if you happen to miss it, you could still go back and watch the services. Have a good and beautiful day. Hello, neighborhood friends. Welcome to my backyard. If you are just hopping on and watching us in the future people, big fans of future people, please enjoy the podcast. If you want the service, if you want more information about our church or you'd like to give, you can go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Hannah Brewer, you are the first person to log on. You are a wonderful person. And my mom is the second to join. Mom, you are equally good. But you brought me in this world, so I have to say that you are slightly better because you made me here. So the internet in Cloquet was down, and we realized that about like 9:15, so we scrambled, and that's why you're in Esco, Minnesota, living the dream. If you're watching, I'd love to hear where you are watching, because like, can you see? No, you can't see. My compost pile is just like right over there, and so we might have some bees coming around, because bees, this is what the church does. Bees knees, man. We got Steve coming in. Steve's gonna be doing worship, and he brought a homemade guitar. It looks like he painted it himself, which is a
special thanks to
Kyle Markshausen. It's great. We also have some friends that are gonna be talking about some school stuff. But before we get to that, now that there's more of you, if you want more information about our church, you can go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org. But with all things new coming up, good morning, all the Rozo families. Anita Johnson, thanks for hopping on. Drew, thanks for watching. If you are in the St. Louis County area or in the Rozo area, we are going to be delivering some donuts and coffee to you. Well, Rozo, you sadly just get coffee, because we're going to mail coffee. We could mail donuts, but I don't think it'd be any good. That's going to be coming on the Tuesday after Labor Day, which I believe is the first day of school for most of us. We thought we'd delay it so people can get something good and beautiful on their first day of school, because there's no tension, there's no stress about school this fall, only smiles and hugs, right? Linnea, nice to have you join us. So if you've never gotten coffee and donuts from us and you'd like some, you can go to our webpage, neighborhoodchurchmn.org. You can sign up to make sure you get some, or I imagine Bree, who does all our communications, is watching and anticipated I'd might be making some stuff up and might have the link already for you to go on our comments. And if you are not watching on Facebook because you want to stick it to the man, and you're watching it on our website at Neighborhood Church MN, thank you. I know Micah Wilson is one of the thousands of people that watch it on our website, so. Oh yeah, look at that. She's posting song lyrics. Is excited that I start school already. All right. So with fall, we have all these feelings. And so we brought in our friends, Jamie and Zoe Jeski. And Jamie is a middle school counselor at Cloquet. She's also a mom of three amazing kids. And my favorite kid of hers is Ms. Zoe. And they're going to be sharing some stuff today. Give them a round of applause.
Yeah. Woo! All right. Good morning.
Too short.
Can you say good morning?
Good morning.
You gotta talk louder, Miss Zoe.
Yeah, I know.
All right. She was excited to get on the camera this morning. We had to do a few wardrobe changes with the change of being inside to outside, but here we are. I don't know about you, parents, but this summer has been kind of stressful predicting what we're gonna do here, going back to school. Like Chris said, I also work in the school, so I have that part of the worry and stress too. But also, a lot of excitement about it. We haven't been with our kids in 6 months, and I'm actually kind of ready. I'm ready to be back there in a really safe way, and I think it's going to be good. So I want to hear from Zoe, though. Her and I have had a lot of conversations, and I think we worry about how our kids are going to handle this, whether they're staying at home or going back to school. I know that's a hard choice to make. And so, Zoe, how are you feeling about going back to school? My kids have to go back to school because I will be there. So they really didn't have a choice. My ninth grader will be starting the high school this year, and then Zoe will be in the elementary, and Max will be with me at the middle school. So we're all diving in, and we're going to do it the best we can. So what do you think? What have you told me?
I want to go back to school. I think that masks are just going to become like the new normal, and we're going to get the routine of putting them on in the morning, off after. Yeah.
Okay. So the masks, that's been something you've thought a lot about.
Yeah.
But you think you've got that? Do you know how important it is to be able to keep your mask on and wash your hands and do all those things the teachers are going to ask you to do? Do you know why that's important?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Keep everything safe and clean.
Okay. Awesome. What are you looking forward to about going back to school?
To see all my friends. I'm so lonely.
She's so lonely. Apparently we're not fun anymore.
No. Were we ever fun?
Huh? Yeah, it's been, you know, I think she's ready to go back and see some friends. I get that. That's hard. Do you think it'll be kind of weird seeing your friends with masks on? Is that going to be different?
No. Yeah. No. Not going to make a change. Not to me.
It'll be different, but yeah. Not, it'll be okay for you?
Yeah.
Okay. We kind of talked this morning about that she still will be able to hear her friends laugh and still make jokes and do all those things with masks on. So kind of sensing that that'll bring some joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just pray for everybody, all the parents that have had to make these really hard choices, because we get that it's hard. We've been there too. We're all in this together across the whole entire nation. So we pray for the teachers. They're all going back to school here on Monday if they haven't already been working in their classrooms for the last 3 months, trying to figure out how to teach kids that are staying at home and how to also engage the kids in the classroom and keep them safe. So prayers for them and the administrators and all the kids that are going in with a little bit different worry this year, but also maybe some excitement. Anything else you want to say? All right. Have a good day, Neighborhood Church.
All right. Hello, Aaron Considine. Thanks for joining. All right. This is my daughter, Kira, and Kira is going, tell us a little bit about yourself. What grade are you going into?
I'm going into fourth grade.
Fourth grade?
Fourth grade.
When'd you get so old?
I'm not a baby. This is the youngest child. Doesn't mean you have to treat me like a baby.
That's right. But you are my baby. All right. How are you feeling about going back to school?
I'm really excited to see all my friends. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be really different for all of the new people there. And, well, I'm excited to see how it turns out.
Yeah. Are you feeling any anxiousness or any nervousness about going back to school?
Nope.
Zero?
Nope.
Okay, because I think every parent in the world is feeling that about their babies. So the reason that we wanted to have everyone on is that it's okay to feel what you feel. And it is a beautiful thing. You're hiding from me. This is a normal thing for dads and daughters,
yes,
right?
This is the normalest thing ever.
I just want to encourage you that regardless of where you're at, if you're a student or a college student or a professional in the school or a really hip with it and wow parent, it really is okay to feel what you feel. And like, we're gonna get through this together. And remember, we always lead in love.
Oh, yes.
All right. I love you. Can I give you a kiss on camera?
No! No!
All right.
Not happening.
I know that, though, you got a close up. We got like the sun just came right on our face. I know that we're having some technical difficulties, so thank you for being patient. So I want to just highlight a couple things. First is, I don't remember the exact date, but sometime in the middle of September, We are going to have baptisms and child dedications. It has been a long time since we've been able to get be together and celebrate. And that's part of what the church does, that we celebrate those milestones in our journey with the divine. And so we're going to, the best place on earth is what, Zoe? Where is heaven on earth? Chubb Lake? That's right, Zoe. That is exactly right. We're going to Chubb Lake to celebrate. And if you have someone, or you or someone in your life wants to get baptized, and baptism is this symbol, it is this journey, it's this process of saying, I identify that there's a good and beautiful God, and this God is in me, and I say yes to this good and beautiful God. And the symbolism of going under the water is saying the old life, the old me, the ego self is staying at the bottom of that pool, or that wonderful smelling, tasting lake of Chubb Lake. And out of that is this new creation. And it has been one of my favorite things to do as a pastor, is being able to baptize people. And it really is a good and beautiful thing. And also, we're dedicating kids, because dedication is saying that you are not alone, that this kid that I brought into this world, we are doing this with the divine, and we're also doing it in the sense of community. And that's what you're dedicating, is saying, I'm gonna raise this kid to love this God, and I'm gonna raise this kid to be a part of this community. And also the community also dedicates themselves of saying, we see you, and we love you, and we're for you. And so if you would like to celebrate with us, you can go online at neighborhoodchurchmn.org, and under our events, all that stuff will be there. You can register and you can sign up. And lastly, before we bring up Steve and his homemade guitar, we have our table groups coming up soon. And starting after Labor Day, you can sign up for our table. Table groups are a place that we're gonna do mostly right now. We're gonna announce when we get closer, are gonna be online. But there's gonna be a group of people where you walk through a different book, a different resource together over the fall. And I don't know about you, but there's like two sides to it. Is that I feel zoomed out. But I also really miss people. So there's this tension of, I want to engage, I want to learn, I want to share, but behind a screen sometimes can be exhausting. Both can be true at the same time. But sometimes, like, pushing through that to learn, to be inspired, is worth it. And we're offering several different groups, and they're all going to be online at neighborhoodchurchmn.org. I think this week, where you can see and register for all those groups. But I'm going to be leading a table group all on what is the Bible, and what is the purpose of the Bible, and how does it work, and how does it function? Do we have to read it just literally and say, Bible says it, I believe it, or could there be a more nuanced, deeper, more beautiful way? Jordan Sundberg, one of my favorite people, is going to be leading one on centering prayer. We want to help people think through, expand their way of what it means to pray and what it means to meditate. Sarah Winter is going to be leading one on parenting and what that looks like, especially in COVID, and how do you raise like strong, confident, Jesus-looking kids. And maybe for a lot of us, the way that we were taught before of what it looks like to be spiritual and what we look like to raise our kids in a spiritual might feel differently. And Sarah is an outstanding resource when it comes to that. And we're going to have several other groups. I know my mom's leading one on the good and beautiful God. I don't know if I just made that up. Steve's going to teach one on how to make a homemade guitar. And it's going to be great. So lastly, I forgot our generosity prayer. I just posted on Facebook, like, this is what we do every week. And then this guy forgets it because we were on the fly. But generosity is something that's important to me. It's important to our community. And more than just, hey, give us your money for the church, right? It's not a pitch. We're not like a used car salesman pressuring or asking, like, well, you know, if you get better of God, if you give more. This is just what healthy people do. We are generous in everything we are and everything we do and everything we have. Because when we act in our God-given identity, right? This is Matthew 5. That is to be a generous human being. So I encourage you to be generous with your emotional health to other people. I encourage you to be generous with your time when your friends are processing about how they're feeling about their kids going back to school. I encourage you to be generous with your front deck to have some time to laugh with friends. Be generous with your resources. If you'd like, if Neighborhood Community Church, I forgot what our name was. If you find some life, if you find some inspiration through this community and you would like to invest in that, you'd like to give to this community, we would love to, because that's just what generous people do. And you can give, if you haven't been able to, we're not passing the plate anymore, but if you'd like to give, you can set up reoccurring automatic giving on our website under our neighborhoodchurchmn.org on our link, and you can get set up to do that. All right. He's number 43 in your programs, but number one in your hearts. Steve Hamlin's going to be leading us in some worship.
Hello. Man, you have it very...
Do I have to move it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Down?
A little bit down. I want people to see the guitar that I'm playing with.
Show them the guitar.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, that's not going to work. No, don't hold it.
Hold it.
I'll move this sucker right here. Chris was very unprepared this morning. Sorry about that. Oh man, I was scrambling to find a guitar this morning. Luckily, the Markshausens were graceful enough.
Have you shown the guitar
yet? Oh yeah.
See?
Right here.
Thanks, Kyle.
I don't know if Kyle painted it in his sleep or what.
What's that supposed to be?
I don't know. We'll have to figure that one out later.
It's like the Markshausen flag.
Just post a comment where you think that might be, and we'll vote on what's best. All right, we got two songs, God I Look to You and Oceans. We're going to sing God I Look to You. Feel free to sing along. I think, yeah, their song lyrics are posted in the comment section. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision see things like you do, and God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. Yes, I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock, forever all my days, I will love you, God. God, I look to you, and I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision, things like you do, and God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. Yes, I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock, forever all my days, I will love you, God. Sing hallelujah. It's hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns forever all my days. Hallelujah. Yes, I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock forever. I will love you, God, forever all my days. I will love you, God. I'll take that. I can do it right here. Thanks, Chris.
Next song here is Oceans.
Call me out upon the water, the great unknown. Your feet may fail, there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep. My faith will stand, then I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours and you are mine. Abounds in deepest waters, the sovereign hand will be my guide. Our feet may fail and fear surrounds me. You've never failed and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name, my eyes upon the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours and you are mine. Spirit, lead. Spirit, lead. My trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the water wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my reality made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Oh, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours and you are mine.
Chris, you're coming back up. Thanks, everyone.
All right, friends, just going on a little journey of my backyard. Todd, since we're here, you might as well get it. This is our garden, as you can see. I have done barely anything with that as my wife. And then it was just a trick to get you to move with me because the sun was going to make me sweat. I don't do well when I sweat and I'm on camera. So, thank you. Thank you to everyone. I know that it's glitchy. Our internet at our house is probably not like the most, you know, we don't plan on doing church from our backyard too often. So it was like 9:15, 20 after when we realized there was no internet. And we're like,
you know, driving legal speed limit. Don't worry, Tori. All right, we are driving, and Nate Cook, we're driving legal speed, and we are talking, and I actually really like chaos. It's kind of like what I'm good at. Some might even say I create chaos. So,
amen to that.
Yeah, amen to that. And I was talking with my daughter on, a lot of people can complain. A lot of people can, like, you know, pout, like, oh, this is so hard. But what leaders do is that we find solutions. And I said, even if they're not the best solutions, we just find solutions. So the solution is my backyard. And I am thankful because we are wrapping up our series simply called God. And again, if you want like a further deep dive into this, this series was inspired by a book by Rob Bell called What We Talk About When We Talk About God. It is a wonderful book. And if you read it and you say, hey, Chris talked on this. Exactly. All right. Chris took what Rob wrote and inspired, and I wanted to share it with everyone. It's a great book. But this is where I want to start. We talked with how God is with us and how God is for us. And today we're going to be talking about the Bible. All right. And the Bible is this incredibly inspiring and beautiful thing. I mean, how many times have you read Psalms 23, right? When something's hard, you're going through a stressful time, or like maybe at a funeral and you're grieving, right? And it says, I have no needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I have no wants. What a beautiful thing. And every wedding that you've ever been to, of course, has to read 1 Corinthians 13, right? Which is funny, because a little tip, it doesn't mean about like love between you and your spouse, right? But we can, right? That's the beautiful thing, Bible. It's like everything is engaged. But like Psalm 91:2, beautiful stuff like this. Well, hello, Haley Bryant. Nice to see you. She is in Carleton, the Bryants, right? And they're big fans of Chubb Lake as well. So just want to say that. Psalm 91 says this: "You are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." I hear that, and you're like, "Yeah, I like that. I want more of that." But then there's equally important Bible verses that can move you and hit something deep within you, like this one from Deuteronomy 21. "When you go to war against your enemies and the Lord, your God, delivers them into your hands and you take captives, if you notice among the captives a beautiful woman and are attracted to her, you may take her as your wife. Bring her into your home and have her shave her head, trim her nails, and put aside the clothes that she was wearing when captured. After she has lived in your house and mourned her father and mother for a full month, then you may go to her and be her husband, and she shall be your wife. If you are not pleased with her, let her go wherever she wishes. You must not sell her or treat her as a slave, since you dishonored her. This is the word of the Lord." Right? If you read that, right? If you read that, you're probably like me saying, what in the world are we doing? All right, here come our neighbors on their bikes. Hey guys, nice to see ya. That's backyard church, so gotta be a neighbor. Right? If you read that, it should evoke some anger. It should evoke some feelings, because that is sexist. That is evil. That is owning people, right? Like if you find a woman who is attracted in the spoils of war, you can just take her. This is the Bible, right? And this is like absolutely one of the things I love about the Bible, because we as some woke people, we treat and affirm people's humanity all the time. We are really good at it. So we can look back at that time in that space and think, what in the world? Why would a God do that, allow that? Which leads a lot of people, when they read the Bible, to have this frustration or anger or distance. Like, that's a monster God. I want nothing to do with that. All right? So let's talk about it. Let's do a little Bible teaching time. All right? We'll get back to the weird passage. But here's the thing. When you read something in the Bible and it disrupts you, and disrupts can be beautiful and inspiring, right? And we know what to do then. We pause and we reflect and we let it speak to us. We let it, we take it in and experience it. But when you read something like this about you may take a person, you may have a spoils of war and own a person, that's going to hurt. That's going to hit something inside of you of saying, what in the world is going on? Like, trust that. These people who wrote this inspired word, they've left those stories in. They left that disruption in, because that is the point, all right? What was handed down to a lot of us was to say, if you read something about genocide, you read something about how slaves help build the temple, right? And you're like, what in the world? They were already slaves and oppressed. They came out, they're free, and then they go back and oppress other people that help them do the thing that they just got out of, right? Like that women should not talk in church. There's all these things that evoke this feeling. What I was taught was, Bible says it, I believe it. God's ways are higher than my ways, so I just have to like put that feeling in a drawer. If you take the Bible and you say, well, we have to have a literal reading of the Bible, all right? So when it says God said, go and kill all those people, like, well, God's ways are higher than me. Bible says it, I believe it. Like, if you're willing to get uncomfortable, if you're willing to ask a question, one of the most important questions you can ask while reading the Bible is not, is it true or not? That's not the point, right? The bigger question, the higher question that can lead you to that truth is why? Why is this story in this place? Why did they leave it at this part, at this point? Why would they leave, of all the things they could put in here, why would they leave a story about spoils of war and what to do? Exactly. Because when you get to those messy parts and you're willing just to get like a little bit under the surface, you're going to see and experience the divine in this like deeper, more beautiful way. So let's talk about it. Why? Why do they have this in here? Number one, right? Let me get this in here. First, it says that if you win this battle, right? And I love this. It says, and if the Lord your God leads you into battle and you win, right? You get spoils of war. It says first that you have to take them into your home, right? You have to take them into your home. That means that there is going to be protection. There's going to be food. There's going to be clothes. There's going to be water. The second thing that you have to do is that they have to shave their head. This woman would have to shave her head, trim her nails. She would have to mourn and grieve from the way you dishonored her, from the way you took her from her parents for 1 month. Why? Right? Why would they have to do that? Because it's evoking that there is a human, right? That there is emotions, and humans with emotions, we need to grieve. Grieving is a process of healing. It is to affirm the humanity of this woman. Third is that you have to take her as your wife, right? To take her as your wife means that they are part of your cultural story, that they are part of your wider connection, that they have responsibilities, that they have a part of your legacy, a part of, what do you call that? Part of your reputation, good or bad, right? They have a designated role in your family. They're not just some possession. They're not just some random person. It is part of your family. And lastly, right, is that if you're displeased with her for whatever reason, right? We're going to talk about this in a second. If you're displeased for whatever reason, she gets to decide what happens next. Because in this time, if someone was displeased with their wife, they could just sell them off to be a slave. They could sell them off into prostitution, because men had all the power and the women's only role was their bodies. Their only opportunity was their bodies. And so if you're like, I'm done, you got to decide where they go. But it says, no, you dishonored her. She gets to decide. She has the power. So why is this in the Bible? Here's why, right? That the Hebrew people were a part of a tribe in the Middle East amongst a bunch of other tribes. And this is what tribes did. Tribes believed that God would send them into war. Tribes believed that if you won, you could go and take whatever you want, whenever you wanted, however you wanted, because it was a man's world and everyone else was just in it. And gods were okay with this kind of domination. Gods were okay with this kind of owning and treating people as possessions. So we have to understand that it's in this context that we find this passage. It's in that place that God inserts itself into that culture, right? We have a God that is with us and for us, but there's also a God that is ahead of us. And if you look at those four points, compared to what all the other tribes were doing, that you had to take them into your home, that you had to give them time to grieve and to mourn, because that's what healthy people do. If you have to take them in as your wife, and then they have the power, if you say, well, I'm done with you, they have the power of what's next and where to go. That is, in this one small step, is an incredibly progressive, radical view at that time, in that space of saying, this life matters. Can you see it? We, thousands of years ahead, can say, no, that, well, we're already that way. Are we? See, I believe that we have a God that's ahead of us. And what Rob Bell says is that there's this like divine pull, pulling us further from as humans to be the fuller, healthier expressions of the divine, of Jesus looking people. And I love in the Bible, even in the messy, weird stuff, it leaves it in there as a way of saying, this is one step forward of being a better human. Is that we're not going to treat people like possessions. And if you can see, again, just underneath the surface, get through the uncomfortable part, you can go, oh. So even back then, in this ancient time, in this ancient scripture, with these ancient people, there's still a God saying, we can do better. It is time to grow. All right? All right, so let's look at another one. This is going to be an equally opportunity to have an inspiring passage. And this one is out of Exodus 21. It says this. I mean, buckle up for the emotions. This is going to move you, right? If anyone uncovers, if anyone's getting married, I think you should use this one instead of 1 Corinthians 13, all right? If anyone uncovers a pit or digs one and fails to cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls into it, the one who opened the pit must pay the owner for the loss and take the dead animal in exchange. This is the word of the Lord, all right? I know it's riveting, right? Riveting. There's like all these holes and potholes, and people are opening them up for whatever reason, and if they don't put it back and your ox comes down and rolls your ankle, like, what in the world is going on? Why do they leave this story? Why would they have this as part of the Bible? All right, it's just weird. Here's why. All right, like, if you read Leviticus, right, Leviticus is a complicated, boring, can be boring book. And again, if you ask why all these rules, here's why. Where the Israelites came from, where the Hebrew people came from, was under Pharaoh. Their only existence was to be slaves and to birth more slaves. That was it. And there, the Egyptian gods, like, were fine with Pharaoh owning people, using entire generations of people to make Pharaoh faster, stronger. What's the Kanye? Is that Kanye West? Bigger, faster, stronger. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just wrote that. That's me. Right? Copyright it. Right? The gods are okay with Pharaoh off the backs of slaves building an empire to use more violence to come even bigger, to accrue even more slaves. Moses shows up, leads, let my people go, leads people. And what happens is God gives these people the Ten Commandments. God gives these people the law, even down to the minute detail of when you do this, this is the animal you sacrifice. When this happens, you have to go and sit for 7 days. Like, to the smallest things. And we look at it and say, why did they care about what kind of wool you wore? What kind of materials you had? Why did they care about what you could eat this and not this? Here's why. Because through that law, through those Ten Commandments, what God is saying is there's a new way of being human, and let me teach you. Step one, love the Lord your God. Have no other gods before me, right? Step two, you shall not covet. Like, there's, if you take a step back and see the progressive, the divine pole pulling humanity forward and saying, I'm not just going to demand you from it, I'm going to teach you how to do this step by step by step. And what's happening here is an extension of that, because we are created as humans to have this sense of justice, because we have a God with justice. But the problem is we let it leak out in incredibly unhealthy ways, right? And what's happening here is that if your donkey rolls an ankle and breaks its leg, what do humans want to do? We want to go and break like three of their donkeys. We want to go slaughter four of their oxen, because that is my source of income. This is how I get food. This is how I can provide for my family. Now I have to stay up at night worrying what's going to happen. Oh, no, 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 no. If you do that to me, I'm going to go and hit you back even harder. And we don't do that today, right? It's not as a country, if someone threatens our country or has an act of violence against our country, that we have to go and they bomb us. So what do? To stop the violence, to stop the act of war, we hit them five times as hard, right? We even have a name for it. We call it shock and awe. You send one missile, we send you missiles for two straight days, because I know there's a way to stop violence as even being even more violent, right? That's what we do. It's this circular of violence and revenge, and it never, ever works. And we can see through pits and donkeys and oxens of the divine saying, we can do better. We can be better. Like, one of my favorite characters in one of my favorite books is called Ender's Game, and by Orson Scott Card. And Ender is this kid, and he has this ability of when someone hurts him deeply, he hurts them back so bad that they can not even get up off the ground. I'm going to punish you so bad you don't even want to think about coming at me again. And I love that, because it's like a mirror to our culture of saying we can do horrible things to people in the name of justice. And sometimes we can't even handle it. And anytime we respond with violence to violence, what God is saying in here is there is justice, and let me show you a way of affirming the humanity of the person who hurt you. This is where we get in the same passage, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. if you hit someone I love, if you hit someone, sadly, that I own, and they lose a tooth, I don't get to go and kill three of your people that you love. I don't get to go and slaughter all these donkeys, right? That there's an equal response, because this is what healthy people do. Even though you hurt me, the crime fits the punishment. And this would have been revolutionary. It was revolutionary at this time. But here's a problem, right? You probably know, in Matthew 5, on Sermon Mount, Jesus brings this up. And this is what Jesus says. Where am I at? You have heard it. You've heard that it is said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you in the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. So what Jesus is doing here, he's saying, back then, at some point, we needed to understand eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If I uncover a hole and a donkey breaks, here's a way of moving towards it. But Jesus, right? There's this God ahead of us, pulling us, moving us to be even better, even being the fullest version of ourselves. He's now saying, right, if you get hit, it's not eye for an eye. You don't get to hit them back. He's saying, no, turn the other cheek, let them do it again. Why? Because we never respond in violence. Why? Because we are created in the image of God. And in that person that is oppressing you, in that person that is attacking you, in that country, those people that are bombing us, Jesus loves them too, and that God is already inside of them. And they're connected, and we are all connected, and we all belong, even in the midst of pain. And what happens is, what people at one point took what was this revolutionary idea of way of how we can show with love and not respond with violence and not have revenge. Imagine this, they took and use it to endorse, to condone their violence and revenge. It'd be like this, right? You ever heard of kids, I bet this never happens in Jamie's house, right? Of where there's like the 10-year-old and a 5-year-old like hanging out, and all of a sudden the 5-year-old punches the 10-year-old in the shoulder, right? So the 10-year-old turns around and boom, punches the 5-year-old in the shoulder, and that 5-year-old starts crying, and you're like, what are you doing, right? And the 10-year-old goes, Dad, they hit me first. You know what the Bible says? Eye for an eye, tooth for the tooth, or tooth for tooth, right? And I'm like, oh, you're right. I'm a pastor. I have to listen to that. You're right. I'm sorry, right? Right? We can use things that were important to us. We can use things at one point were revolutionary and pulling us ahead to be a better way of seeing, a better way of doing, and we can use it to condone the very thing that we don't want to be. This is what Jesus is getting at. At some point that worked for us. You needed that, but we have grown, and it's time to grow up. It's time to move. This is what Rob Bell says this in his book, What We Talk About When We Talk About God. Imagine that. Religious people quoting the Bible to defend actions that were the exact opposite of the intent and purpose of those very same scriptures. It's possible, then, to be quoting the Bible out of the conviction that you're defending God's way when, in fact, you're in the exact moment working against how God wants you to continue drawing and pulling and calling humanity forward. And then, to put a finer point on it, it's possible to take something that was a step forward at one point and still be clinging to it later on in the story, to the point where it becomes a step backward. I love that. And it's not like, you know, people in the church, it's not like we've been doing that. No, we don't use things at some point work for us and just like have a death grip on them saying no, because what we call it is truth. And sometimes it can be truth, but sometimes it was a way that worked for us previously. And maybe it's not working for us anymore. I had a conversation with someone that was very important in my life, and we're standing in my kitchen, and somehow, I don't know how, we got in the conversation of Genesis. And I believe that it is an inspiring story to move us to a higher way of seeing God and seeing humanity. And they were incredibly frustrated. And that led to that, they're like, well, you know, God's a man. And I'm like, well, I would say God transcends gender, and God is the fullness of humanity, and we can see the fullness of God and the full spectrum of gender. God is supersedes that, right? And what they said to me was, Chris, we've held on to these truths for thousands of years as the church. And that stuck with me. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of things that we've held on to, and we should hold on to, that God being this good, that there's a God ahead of us, inspiring us to continue to grow, to continue to evolve, to continue to transcend and include, right? But there's other things that we shouldn't hold on to anymore, right? Like, at one point, it was okay, spoils of war, shave head, trim nails. That was progressive at the time. At some point, when Paul says to slaves, be kind to your masters. There was one point where it says women should not teach over men. Women should actually just be quiet. The church for a long time looked at people and says, you are not included. You should have tried harder to look like me, identify like me, be like me. And thank God that we don't hold on to all those things at all times. Why? Because we have a God that is moving us forward. And we see in the scripture these things that have this arc and this trajectory of evolution and change. And if we believe that to be true, why couldn't it still be true today? And this idea of God moving us ahead, sometimes people get freaked out and saying, oh, okay, then that means we're like, Jesus doesn't matter anymore. And I heard one time one person said, oh, so we can start marrying horses because I love my horse. Right? We can use the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We can see the timeless truth that Jesus invites us into being people that love God and love people. But here's the hard part. Sometimes we have a mission accomplished God, right? You guys remember mission accomplished? That one of our presidents put it on a aircraft carrier in the middle of a war and said, mission accomplished. And everyone's like, whoa, mission accomplished, right? And later he apologized about that, but why, right? I imagine at some point there's something that they believe that we really, mission was accomplished. But also when you can tell people, it's over, it's done, we won, you can move beyond the fear, you can move beyond the anxiety, the tension, and you can feel some sort of comfort, and we love and we fight. I'm going to say even wage war for comfort. And so if we believe that the divine is ahead of us, pulling, inviting us to be a better, fuller, healthier version of not just as individuals, but as humanity, as circles of friends, as churches, it is hard work. The redemptive work of Christ, we're playing out in like the backyards, in the offices, in the schools. It is hard, exhausting work. But there's something inside of us, like where we say, mission accomplished. Jesus finally did everything he needed to do. You can take a rest, God. We got it. Why? Because usually it comes because as a circle of friends, individual, family, or church, is we feel comfortable. We finally got to a point of where we can rest. We're okay. We have everything we need. And so we can say, now we can just mission accomplished. Now we can just tolerate. Now we can just exist. And friends, I won't lie to you. I don't blame you. It is hard because it is a messy world. Like if you turn on the news, right? Are you going to hear like, oh, everyone's getting along. Look at this picture of a bunny. It's so cute. Back to you, Gary, right? On your social media, is it just filled with people affirming each other's different viewpoints on politics? Is it like, oh, Bethany, I love that you have found this political person to be inspiring and true to you. I disagree, but I want you to pursue the fullness of yourself and go for it and believe in what you need to believe. I applaud you. Is it filled with Philippians 2? Of people just emptying of themselves, giving away their privilege, taking a low status so that they can rise up the people around them? No. It's filled with fear. It's filled with this dualistic way of thinking. If you are not a Democrat, then you're a horrible person. If you're not a Republican, then you're a horrible person. I mean, how many times have you seen people say, if X wins, I'm moving to Canada? Like, there's going to be a lot of people moving to Canada. I don't know if Canada even wants us. Right? Right? Guys, that is just a low way of seeing. It's a low way of being. So what are we supposed to do? Exactly. I talked with a friend. We had a great conversation just a couple days ago. I'm saying, well, Chris, I think that if we just really love Jesus, we allow the love of Jesus to transform us, it will help us and lead us to just naturally include and accept. And I'd say, yes, I agree. But let's look at the church. Let's just say the last 60 years. How is that working for us? Is it working? Is just loving Jesus enough? I'd say, we need the transformation love of Jesus, but we have to do the work. When Jesus says in end of Matthew 5, he says, it's time to grow up. It's time to move in your God-given life, a generous life, to treat people in the same way that God treats you, generosity. That means we give away the best of ourselves. So here's where I end. Where do you feel that nudge? Where do you feel that divine pull within yourself? Where do you feel that permission to begin even the idea of beginning the dream of what could be. And maybe there's some part of you like, no, I can't move beyond this because of COVID, because of school, whatever it might be, right? God is inviting you, maybe, possibly, to pick up that phone and apologize for that thing that you said at that party 10 years ago, and you think about it pretty much like every month, and you're like, no, it's too late, I can't own that anymore. No, you can go back to move forward. Maybe, right? For me, I've been feeling this pull to go back to school, to go back to seminary, to go read about the, learn more about the Bible. All right, it's like I'm a professional Bible reader. Really, what more do I need? Right? I feel that, and I was a little anxious about it. I feel really insecure about going and learning with what I deem everyone else's intellectual, and I'm just some doofus. That's like where I live. That's where I start. But I'm not going to let fear keep me back from moving forward to be the best version of me. Maybe it's something you need to start doing. Maybe you feel this nudge to like update your resume. You're like, Chris, I'm in my 40s. I can't have a career path change. Yes, you can, because you're worth it. Maybe it's something you need to stop doing. Maybe it's something as a circle of friends you've talked about. Maybe we should stop doing this. Maybe we should try. Maybe it's time to do that. Maybe it's something as an organization. Maybe it's something even as, I don't know, neighborhood church, that God might be inviting us and nudging in us to move forward in being anti-racists. And what it looks like to include people in non-dominant culture. Like, what does that even mean exactly? But I can tell you this. I believe that God speaks to us, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us in a lot of different ways. You can be inspired through, like right now, the sky is beautiful here. You might be inspired through a homemade guitar. You might be inspired through the Bible. You might be inspired through a piece of art or a great pancake, right? One of the ways that I feel like God speaks to me, inspires me, is through these pictures in my head. And there's a couple that just repeat over and over and over. And one of them is, I feel like this might be for some of you. And if it's not, that's okay. But if it is, take it, meditate on it, sit on it. And I feel this for our church, that God, in the expression of this little kid, it's always black and white. And I'm standing in front of this little kid, and this kid waves at me and says, come and play, and takes off with this big smile, as kids do, and runs around the corner, off to somewhere, someplace, I don't know. But it's an invitation to play. And you have the option to take off running, to be inspired, to go and play in the kingdom of God, to do and be, to love and be better. Or we can stay and say, I don't know what's around that corner. I'd rather stay with what I know to be true, what I know and what I'm comfortable with. But I do believe there's a God ahead of us that is inviting us to come and play. So let me pray. Join me. So God, we love you. And I thank you if we're at the Hub in Cloquet, if we're on a deck in Roseau, Minnesota, or in Esco, Minnesota with subpar internet, that you are here. That you are a God that is with us. You're a God that is for us. And that you're a God that is ahead of us. You're not just sitting next to us saying, I don't know what's going to happen next, but you are nudging, encouraging us to come play in the kingdom of God. Because you say in the Lord's Prayer, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That what you want is heaven on earth, heaven in our backyards, heaven at school, heaven in business, heaven on college campus. And we want to participate in that. So help us see it and help us actually grow up and begin to do it. Because you are worth it, God. Our friends, our neighbors, our enemies, people who think differently than us, and ourselves, we are worth it. And we love you. Amen. All right. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining us. You can find more about who we are at neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Thank you, friends. Have a good and beautiful day.